360 what was probably one of the most enjoyable weekends as an Iowa fan of college football this season. Big games all across the country. Iowa State played in a close game. The boys' picks were in a bunch of close situations. Tennessee, Rocky Top, knocks off Alabama. A whole bunch of great football to talk about. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome into the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast. I am joined by my friend of 9 years, former roommate, the one and only Turn Signal, Kevin. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, how we doing, Kloop Dog?
Kevin, I don't know where you were, but you are in transit back to Coralville from the wedding that you mentioned on the last episode, of which took you away from the normal spot on the couch where you would have seen an incredible day of college football. Tell me about your weekend.
Yeah, man, it was hard to not flop on a couch and just have two TVs going and a great slate of college football. But we did help my man Josh get married this weekend. It was a great time. Took a couple years off my life, I think. Might have a fatty liver disease now after the amount of alcohol drinking over the past 48 hours. But it was a good time. It was worth it. 10 out of 10 would do it again.
You know what? I expect nothing less from you. A weekend that you walk away saying, who knows? I might have given myself fatty liver disease in a matter of, you know, 24 hours, and 10 out of 10 would do it again is your response. So that's good. You had a few pops, huh?
Had a few pops and had a few glasses of the dark brown liquor. It was bad, man. Good time. You know, we ain't going to live forever, so you might as well have fun while we're here, right?
Yeah, something like here for a good time, not a long time.
That's right, brother.
Okay. Well, good to hear that. Glad the wedding went well. Glad Josh is married now. Welcome. Welcome him to the married people. Kev, when you have a wedding someday, it's going to be one hell of a time.
Would you do me the honor of having at least a couple alcoholic beverages that day?
For you, Kevin, there's a limited number of people on earth that I will partake in alcoholic beverage drinking, and you are among that list. So
I'm on the short list.
Yes, but it's going to be interesting. Yeah, by that time I'll have kids, so I don't know what. Yeah, you're gonna be running around trying to that. Wow, that's gonna be crazy. I mean, unless you get married in the next 10 weeks, I will have a child by the time that you get married. So,
not planning on that.
That would be crazy, huh? What a turn of events that would be. Anyway, you are caught up on everything that happened yesterday in the football world, yes?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We were focused on getting the guy married, but, you know, had a few wagers out there. It definitely was keeping track of the happenings in college football world.
Had a few wagers. Speaking of a few wagers, we just brought a new sponsor onto the show, and I'm gonna talk about them in a little bit. They are a betting-related app product, and they're actually really cool. And it could be detrimental for my bank account, I guess. It's not like I wager a whole lot anyway. As many of you know, when I opened up the DRF on location sportsbook at the Lakeside Hotel and Casino in Osceola, I popped that baby off with a $10 honorary first bet. So the bets that I put in, I cashed that thing. I mean, Good luck for everybody that goes to that casino and makes a bet in person. Similarly, on the apps, on the online sports betting, I put in very similar bets. I'll get crazy sometimes and throw in like a $6 bet, but most of the time I like to mess around with long shot parlays for like $1 or $2 and just, you know, put a little skin in the game and just hope. I made a couple of those today in the NFL, and the new app sponsor of this show is an interesting app that aggregates all of your bets, especially if you use multiple accounts. And we'll get to them in a second. But how do we do, Kevin? I actually forgot your picks. I went 1-2 because I suck. I already forgot. Let me pull these up for a second. I know that you had.
Yeah, I also went 1-2. It was not a great weekend. We can go into it here in a little bit, but
let me pull up the graphic. Yeah. Let me pull up the graphic and go over what my bets were. Excuse me. And by the way, if you hear me talking and you're like, "Why is your voice so deep?" I sound like I smoked a pack before this. I've been sick since Friday night. Throat has felt like absolute sandpaper for the last 48 hours, but we're all good. Okay, we power through. I went into the weekend. What's up?
Do you still work out when you're sick, or do you kind of take it easy?
Well, that's the thing. Is Friday is usually a great day for a workout for me. We're heading into the weekend. Everybody's on high vibes, right? I take a rest day on Thursday, so my body's feeling good on Friday. Friday, my afternoon session, it was just one of those sessions where it's like, God, I cannot get into the rhythm. I cannot find a flow here. And I did a little bit of lifting. Yep. I did a conditioning piece that was just like, I was like, my breathing, my ability to process oxygen right now is not at the level. I just slugged through a workout. And I was like, sometimes this happens. I don't know what the reason is. Well, several hours later, my throat started to get progressively and progressively worse. And I realized, oh, I was getting sick. That's why my workout wasn't great. So then yesterday, Saturday, which is another huge day of training for me, I had to really find the courage because I was feeling like absolute shit. And I did make it out to train. My motto is just get to the next step. So a lot of people will feel like, fuck, there's no way I'm making it to the gym today. So it's like, okay, for me, I work out in my garage. Let's just go down to the garage, grab a foam roller, and let's start moving around, right? If anything, it'll be good to roll out the muscles. And once you grab the foam roller, you're like, okay, well, maybe I'll hop on the air bike and I'll just do a little 5-10 minute warm up, get loose. And if you can just take the next step, then you finally get to a spot where you're like, fuck it, I'm going to work out. So I did work out yesterday.
Sure. Yeah.
It was not, that's my advice to anybody out there as well. If you can just like, convince yourself to just drive to the gym, get to the parking lot, and then convince yourself to walk through the front doors. I know it's not easy sometimes. My workout was not great. I did not hit any PR numbers. Weights that I lifted yesterday felt heavier than they should percentage-wise. I did a conditioning piece of which normally I would time and try and, you know, I'd be working for as fast as I possibly could. Didn't even put the clock on, just worked through the reps. And, we got 90 minutes done, and when you sweat, that kind of helps sweat out some of the sickness. A lot of times you feel better. So we did get a workout in.
Recovery week.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I noticed, like, back from even, like, when we were playing at Iowa's, you know, you didn't get to choose what workout you were doing that day. So if you were sick, you were hitting it hard regardless, right?
Yeah.
I noticed, yeah, I'm feeling a little run down, and then I'm just working my body down in the gym as well, and I'll just be sick for like a month straight.
They're definitely.
But if I take it easier for a week, like I'm good, and then I can hit it hard the following week instead of having 4 weeks of subpar workouts for me.
Yeah.
I can take one recovery week and then get back to it.
Yeah, you hit on a huge thing there. There is definitely a level at which, and we were definitely crossing over that level. At Iowa, where if you go to work out when you're sick, and you get the courage to go and do that, if you push too hard, you are putting your body, all working out is, for those listening, is a stress. It is a stressor to your body. The working out part actually doesn't make you, in the acute time frame, any healthier. It's the recovery part, of which your body responds to the stress that you put it under, that makes you better, fitter, stronger, healthier, whatever. There is a point of stimulus when you work out where if you're sick during that, you are pushing past the point at which your body can now catch up and recover. And so like Kevin says there, if you push too hard and you're just trying to push through it and push through it and push through it, you can actually prolong your sickness by doing that. And you're right, Kev. In Iowa, we didn't have a choice. You were just basically fucked.
Yeah, you're going to work out.
I will probably, in some form or fashion, you know, this next 3 or 4 days will probably look like a deload week for me. So we'll be all right. We'll be on the mend. I just sound like fucking Brady Ross today. Anyway, I started off the weekend with the bets, and that was Baylor versus West Virginia. Now, like I said, I'm a Baylor fan. I'm a Dylan Doyle fan. But evidently, West Virginia, who arguably is the worst team in the Big 12, which is a league that has a ton of parity in it. It's a very interesting league this year. Baylor couldn't stop them. And Baylor was -3. They did not win that game. They lost it at West Virginia. Drake tried to tell me, even though Drake found Jesus the other day, for those that saw the betting graphic, he did give me advice and said, you know, West Virginia is an incredibly tough place to play. He was right, because Baylor went in there and lost. So that was 0-for-1 on the weekend for me. Texas, this was, I mean, I don't know. Probably a trap game, probably a dumb pick on my part. They were -16.5 against Iowa State. At one point, it looked okay, but Iowa State hung around and actually almost outright won that game. Actually, a really good.
They really should have. Hutchinson should have caught that one long pass. They
drop. Yep.
Walked into the end zone.
Yep.
And they would have been up with like less than 2 minutes left in the game, I think.
Yeah. You know, for those who come to this podcast, and the reason being is because you're part of Hawkeye Nation, you like to hear us talk about Iowa and the Big Ten and all that. It's been a rough year for the Hawks, obviously. But I got to tell you, other than Iowa State's victory over Iowa, which was not very impressive, the rest of their season has been just as heart crushing. they have been struggling as well.
That's why we're Western Iowa Reavers fan, right?
Yes, we are a
we're Western Iowa podcast now.
This is the number one Iowa Western Community College podcast on earth. So welcome to it. So that was my second bet. Baylor -3. Nope. Texas -16.5. Nope. And USC was my final pick. That was the one I was honestly most worried about. I checked the score. I did not stay up last night. I've been feeling sick. When Tyler's healthy, he goes to bed at 9 o'clock. When he's not healthy, he definitely ain't staying up late. The last time I checked, it was like, oh shit, USC's up 21-7 right now. We got this in the bag. Evidently, it turned into another incredible football game. Wish I was able to watch the whole thing. They ended up losing 43-42, but they cover the 3.5 points to make me 1-2 on the weekend. And I'll take that, because 0-3 is ugly. 1-2 is not quite as bad. So I will go to 8-9. 8-9-1 on the year. I'm just under 500. We don't love it, but it could be worse. Kevin, your first pick was Cal. How did that end up?
Yeah, so Cal is playing one of the worst teams in college football this year in Colorado.
Yep.
Two weeks removed from firing the head coach. And they lose.
Wow, and they lost.
They lost outright. Yeah, they are 14-point favorites and lost outright.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, so Colorado was giving up over 500 yards a game coming into this game.
Jesus.
And California could not move the ball.
Isn't
they
Cal...
They end up with just under 300 yards of offense for the game.
Wow.
And, yeah, they lose 20-13 in overtime.
Wow, they lost in overtime to one of the worst teams in college football. That is tough.
Yep.
I know the NC State pick. You were feeling decent about that. I actually yesterday, I used some of that to influence one of my bets. I put a parlay in yesterday that was, it was a bunch of like in-game bets, and one of them was an early in-game bet for NC State to cover after Syracuse scored their first touchdown, and the line went up even further. They did not cover. That game ended up.
Yeah, no. So basically, my theory behind that was that Syracuse had not really been tested yet.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if they were for real. Syracuse is a for real football team. They are 6-0, and they've got a win over Purdue and a win over NC State. They might fuck around and find out what they can do in the ACC this year.
So they haven't played Clemson, obviously.
Have not played Clemson yet, no.
So that's going to be a good game.
Clemson just gave a close win over Florida State last night.
Was it close?
ACC is anyone's conference.
Too. Yeah.
I think they won by 6 or something like that.
Similarly, Kev, you were... The reason that you kind of threw an eyebrow up at my USC pick the other day was because USC had not been tested. How do we feel about them? They went in and I would say proved themselves to be, you know, pretty formidable against Utah. At least somewhat.
I think it's just kind of, they are who we thought they were.
Yeah.
They're a good football team. They can score a lot of points. They're not going to contend for a national title quite yet. Maybe in the future, but not this year.
Yeah. The last bet of yours, which was the one that hit, and it was, boy, it was teetering there. ISU Texas under 50. They were trying to race to over 50 points, but they did not quite get there. This was a good call on your part. I think Iowa State is the best defense in the Big 12, arguably. Texas, again, like I said, a bit of a trap game for them. They come off a massive blowout over Oklahoma, big rival. They go into this week and they play Oklahoma State, who is, until yesterday, they were undefeated, and that was going to be a big game. So a bit of a trap game with Iowa State in between, and low scoring game down in Austin. Good call on that one.
Yeah, you know, Lions girl finds an acorn every now and then.
It is true.
But yeah, it really was that pass that Hutchinson dropped that could have won Iowa State the game. That would have also set the line over, probably.
Yeah. Interesting game. Texas is they've looked so good, but then yesterday they didn't look like world beaters hardly at all. So interesting to see what they will do the rest of the year. The big game of the day. We are going to be right back to the episode in just a second, but we want to let you guys know that this show, this brand, is supported by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merchandise. If you are out there and you need a custom merchandise store, or maybe just help designing that custom merchandise and you're going to take care of it on your own, AdCraft are the people for you. They can take care of your team, your business, your personal brand, or maybe even your school's fundraising efforts. They are the best in the business at what they do. It's that simple. As we near the holiday season, it's going to be Christmas time. A huge part of our brand at the Walk-Ons is doing a Christmas run of merchandise, much of which the profit then benefits the Children's Hospital. All things that AdCraft has helped us been able to optimize and really make the most efficient. We are constantly going back and forth with them about ideas, not just for web stores that we want to do soon, but stuff, ideas that we have for down the road. They help us keep track of what's possible. They help us design basically every t-shirt or item that we do. They handle all the packing and the shipping. And the best part is that they literally create the online store for us. We don't have to do any of that. They handle the website, the orders. We sit back once we create the designs, once we pick the inventory, which they always have inventory in stock. They do all of the work after that. They make you money. They make things easy. and they make great products. Pretty simple. AdCraft apparel and merchandise. Go to AdCraftWebStores.com to start your custom web store experience. And I don't know how much you've seen of it, Kev, probably on the replays, or if you guys had a TV or a phone streaming it. Tennessee and Alabama is an instant classic. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was I was actually able to watch it on my phone, snippets here and there. Yeah, that was a hell of a game. So I actually regret watching it on my phone, right? Alabama missed that last kick.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, there's 10 seconds left. Oh, they're going to go to overtime.
Yep.
Put my phone away.
Oh.
Go order a drink. Then I found out, oh, my God, Tennessee's about to kick. I was able to see the kick. How did they get from, like, their own 30 down to the Alabama 20 in, like, 10 seconds?
Yep, 15 seconds left on the clock when Alabama misses that field goal. By the way, that field goal kicker is now 3 of 7 in the last three games.
Why can Bama never find a good kicker?
I don't know.
Why does it feel like they always have like an average kicker?
What I do know is this. That kicker probably getting death threats, right? Tennessee kicker probably got laid by whoever he wanted to last night. So 15 seconds left. They're on like their, where was it? Like about the 30 yard line, I believe. Their own 30.
It was a 49 yard field goal that they missed. So it would have been like the 30,
32, 31,
30, 32, yeah. 33.
So they open up, big pass play, that gets them to midfield. They throw, I mean, that quarterback is good. The stats the one receiver had on their team was wild. 6 catches for 5 touchdowns. So 20-yard pass play that gets them right to the 50, basically, and it takes about 5 seconds off the clock. They go up. They run up. They're going to try and clock it, but they just decide to call timeout. So 10 seconds left. They run another play. Long pass play contested in the air. Receiver comes down with it, gets hit like pretty hard. Really, really good catch, really good play. Comes down with it with 2 seconds left. Obviously, a first down. This gets them all the way down to like wherever they kicked it from, obviously, like the 20 some yard line. So, 2 seconds left. The clock runs out, but obviously, the clock doesn't run once you're down and you've made the first down. So, they're able to call another timeout. 2 seconds left. They run him out there. And then they almost fucked that kick up. I think he straight up shanked it. It looked like it got tipped, but I think he just shit his pants, but still somehow got it to go through. And
It looked like he just kind of like muscled that thing through. It looked like when you guys like are kicking when you just kind of like punch it through. That's almost what it looked like. It did not look like a clean kick.
I think he had the worst ball contact of his life because he just soccer punched it through. I think it's exactly what you just said. And boy, is he lucky because it just climbed over that crossbar and no one gives a shit because it went through and Tennessee won the game and it was an unbelievable game. It's the first time they've beat Alabama since 2007 or something like that. And they carried.
You see they rushed the field. They took the field goal post and threw it in the river.
They pulled an Iowa at Minnesota and took that fucking post out of the stadium. Unbelievable! I couldn't be happier. It was amazing. But here's the question, Kev: are those two teams just so unbelievably good offensively that no defense is able to really do anything against them, or? Does it get lost that those defenses didn't play very good?
Well, I think we've seen it a couple times this year that Alabama's offense has struggled at times. Texas, they only put up like 20 versus Texas.
Yeah.
24 versus A&M.
I
think they're obviously a good football team. Okay?
Right.
Don't say that, but they're not – the Alabama that we're used to seeing year in, year out this year, I don't think.
Some of the defensive back play.
Tennessee's offense Tennessee's offense, though, is legit. They got some dudes that can make some plays on that offense. So
yeah, they do.
They're going to continue to put up a whole lot of points. They might be able to challenge Georgia for the East, I think.
They may. I mean, if you can score points like that, of course, Georgia's defense is kind of their thing. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I just know I was watching that, and I was literally thinking to myself, Kevin would be shitting himself watching some of these defensive backs play football right now, because that was not good. I mean, they were...
Well, I'm sure I would have for those last two plays that you got 50 yards and 10 seconds.
Oh, dude.
I would have been like,
unbelievable.
If I was an Alabama fan, I probably would have been irate.
Oh, Phil Parker would have been motherfucking everybody in that stadium. I mean, it was not good. But if you're a fan of college football, especially one who loves parody and likes to see the big boys get knocked down occasionally, which is basically everybody who doesn't cheer for Alabama, it was an amazing game to watch. A great day, a game that added to a greater, bigger picture of a day in college football. And, obviously the content that came from that with the field goal post, and they have the whole tradition of smoking cigars after that game. Game day was there, obviously. I don't know if you saw any of Pat McAfee and Peyton Manning on game day in the morning. That was fantastic. It was a really, really good day in college football.
I'm happy for everyone that got to enjoy it.
We will, we're going to talk about the Big Ten West here to finish off the podcast. Kind of a short one today, and it obviously has nothing to do with the Hawks, because the Hawks did not play yesterday, although there were some funny memes about how the bye week beat Iowa 21-3 or something like that. People were putting out some pretty funny stuff. Here's what I want to talk about, and this is not going to be how it always goes, because this is just one of our new advertisers, and it's going to be more like a traditional read from here on out. But we just signed on a new app. And for anybody out there listening, if you bet at all on sports, this is going to be an incredible tool. This is, let me crack my voice like a fourth grader there. This is such a cool app that it actually got me back into sports betting on Friday. I have not actually placed a bet. Bit of a fraud, because we make our picks every week and we give them out to you guys, and then I actually haven't put any in. I've been pretty honest with that. So is Drake. But I re-logged into my Caesar Sports app. I downloaded this app and linked the accounts. And the app is called Pick It. I was hit up by a guy, shout out to Hunter, on social media, who's like, hey, I work for this app. I'm a recent grad of the University of Iowa. You know, we want to reach out to you guys, see if we can't advertise on your show. Basically, what this app is you can link your sports betting accounts to this app, and it provides you with a two-part application to basically use as part of your sports betting entertainment. This app has... Basically, what it does is, once you make your picks in your fantasy, FanDuel, DraftKings, Caesars, whatever it may be, it's going to aggregate all of your bets into a single app in a really, really clean format. And then it's going to take you through. I mean, you have to download it to really get the full feel of it. But it lays out all of your data in a way that none of the actual sports betting apps are able to do. It gives you info and insight into what teams you bet the most, what sports you bet the most, what you're best at, how many units or dollars you're up or down, all the way down to individual players if you do prop bets. It's super, super clean. I talked with one of the founders the other day as we were kind of setting up the advertising. Again, it's Pickit, P-I-K-K-I-T. We've been brought a lot of these applications before, and this one is honestly one of the cleanest ones. Inside of the app, you can go into one of your bets, and then whatever picks are part of that single bet, like a parlay, 14 parlay, it then gives you, it pulls up the games that are a part of that bet, and you can track those games live through the app. So it's really, really sweet. again, it's more of a data aggregation thing that can kind of give you insight and help you be smarter and bet on the things that you're best at. There's a whole lot more that we can do with this. For now, just download the Pickett app. And if you want, I made an account. I believe you get, let me do this. Yeah, so I can refer you guys as our listeners right now. If you guys want to download Pickett right now, if you're a sports bettor, you have to do this. Absolutely go download this. My code that you can sign up with is NFL7930. Use that code when you sign up for Pickett. Once you sign in, you're going to then link all of your sports betting accounts, and it will bring all of those automatically when you make your picks into the app. Really, really cool. Shout out to the guys at Pickett for joining on to the podcast. And we are excited to kind of bring you more content from them. The app itself is going to give us a whole bunch to talk about as we move forward. So Pickett, new advertiser on the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Shout out to them. All right, Kevin, the Big Ten West. I don't know if you watched Nebraska and Purdue last night, but
I did not get a chance to watch that game. Nope.
That was the nightcap of the Big Ten, and I watched most of it. I think I fell asleep early in the fourth quarter. Nebraska gave the Boilermakers a run for their money, and if maybe not for Charlie Jones, the Huskers might have had them at night in West Lafayette, but they were not able to close it out. Ended up losing 43-37. That puts Nebraska at 2-2 in the conference. Illinois and Purdue are the current favorites, the current leaders of the Big Ten West. And boy, what a turnaround that would have been if you would have told us that back when we were playing. I mean, Illinois and Purdue are currently your favorites to win the West.
I mean, yeah, up until I think our senior year, they started playing better.
Purdue did, yeah.
Yes. And Illinois was always trash while we were there. But yeah, from 13 to 16, those guys were always in bottom two in the West.
Unbelievable.
Right? And I think it's pretty clear that they are now the top two in the West, right? I don't think there's really any debate. I mean, Illinois comes off a big win at Minnesota, and Purdue has also already beaten Minnesota. Wisconsin dropped another one last night. I mean, it's Illinois versus Purdue for right now, pretty much, right?
Essentially, yes. So the conference standings on our side currently stand at Illinois and Purdue, both 3-1 in the conference. Nebraska sits at 2-2. Northwestern and Iowa and Minnesota all sit at 1-2. And Wisconsin sits at 1-3. God, unbelievable. I mean, it's almost literally flipped. If you flipped 7-1, 6-2, like you just completely turned the West on its side right now, that's what it would have looked like more so when we were playing. Yeah, man. It's unbelievable. Illinois, Bielema, think about their last three games. They go in and beat Wisconsin 34-10 and get Paul Christ fired. Then they come home to a big game, probably the biggest game that they've had in their stadium in a while, and they hold off Iowa, which, granted, not necessarily the hardest task to do, but they get the job done and get a victory over Iowa to go back-to-back against teams that they never beat. And then their dogs to Minnesota, who has looked... They looked really good in the non-conference, not as good recently. And they don't only outright win. They kind of handle the Gophers. You have to feel on top of the world if you're an Illinois fan right now. I mean, it's unbelievable. And Purdue...
Absolutely.
Purdue is, they're dangerous offensively. They are suspect defensively, I would say. Especially after watching them, you would have shit your pants at some of the defensive back play in that game as well last night. But you're looking at the two leaders of the West. I don't have the time or really the willpower to go into each one of their schedules right now and see who has who left in the Big Ten. But Wisconsin, I would say, is basically out of it at this point, considering that they're two games back of Illinois and they lost the head-to-head. You know, Iowa, Northwestern, Nebraska, Minnesota, they all have, you know, they're one game back, right? And some of those haven't played head-to-head matchups yet. But Illinois or Purdue is going to represent in Indianapolis this year. Like, that is, it's just, it's hard to even, like, fathom.
There's like a 90% chance that it's one of those two teams, yeah.
And
which is absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy.
We talked about that guy a couple weeks ago, you know, the crazies who always, there's always going to be somebody who put money down on their team to win the West, right? Or win the Big Ten. And somebody from...
How would you like to hold that? It was what, plus 3,000 just for them to win the West?
Yes. Yep. You got to love that.
It'd be a nice ticket to have right now.
Decent ticket.
Decent ticket. I'll tell you what, man. I think we mentioned it when Illinois hired Bielema. A strong Illinois team is trouble for the rest of the West.
Trouble. It's trouble. I have seen...
If they're starting to pull the majority of the talent coming out of the Chicagoland and Indianapolis area, they can turn that into a powerhouse of a program.
They're going to become... they'll become a problem. I mean, they're going to become a legitimate problem. I think what Iowa has left on their schedule, it's crazy. I still believe that every team in the West could lose very easily to every other team. I still believe that every team could beat every other team. I literally don't think, you know, if you say Purdue or Illinois is the best team in the Big Ten and Wisconsin or Northwestern is the worst team in the Big Ten. I don't even know who... I look at those other five teams outside of Purdue and Illinois, and I don't know who the worst team is. And I don't even know if I could make an argument for it. Every team has their
thing. Northwestern's pretty bad, dude. Northwestern's pretty bad.
Yeah, you're right. They're the worst overall. They've won one game, and it's against Nebraska. You probably could say that they're the bottom of the other five. But the gap between Northwestern and Illinois, or Northwestern and Purdue, I mean, they could go out on any given day and lose to each other. Like, it's just not like the East or the West in any other year.
If you want to look on the bright side of that, you know, Iowa's got six games left in their schedule. We're going to have a tough matchup versus Ohio State this week. But beyond that, it's the same as always. It really always is. There's no one, you know, again, tough matchup this week. Beyond that, there's no game that we can't win. There's no thing that we can't go 8-4 this year. Now, on a double-edged sword, right, very easily could lose every game left.
I was just going to say, we could very easily end up 3-9.
It's going to be a lot of one-score games. Right. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of one-score games. You know, we've not done great in that so far this year. We're 3-3. We've lost two of the one-score games that we've been in.
Yep.
It's tiny little details, and then... You're on the right side or the wrong side of a W or a loss.
I think what hurts the most.
It's gonna be fun to watch, man. I think people are pretty like down on the year because how it started, but
that's an understatement.
There's still a lot that this team could do, man.
I mean, you're absolutely right. I know nobody sees the path for this legitimately, but as far as like the technicality of it, Iowa could very easily lose to Ohio State and win the rest of their games and still end up the Big Ten West champion. Like, that is not out of the realm of possibility. Now, obviously, in the execution of that, they would have to figure out how to score points. That's going to be tough to get around if they can't. But the problem is like Kevin said, every single game is probably going to be a one-score game because of our defense. It's going to look like Illinois 9-6. It's going to look like that every single week, except for maybe this week. Ohio State's going to put up, you know, they're going to score. But I think that may be, Kev, what makes it the worst is like the rest of this season is going to be, you know, the fans and everybody that cheers for Iowa is going to be strung along because the defense keeps us in these games and Iowa plays close football games. But at the same time, there's a decent shot that we lose just as much as we win. And that's tough. Like that really plays with people's emotions. So it is what it is. It's just going to be
the season might remind me of the 2014 season.
Yeah.
A lot of expectations going into that year. We actually started off pretty good. I think we were like 4-1 or 5-1 to start.
5-1, yeah.
And then I think we lose 4-1. Well, we got our ass kicked by Minnesota. But outside of that, we lost like 4-1 score games.
Yep. Yep. We were, yeah. And of course, we could go over what, you know, I think for that year, there was different reasons why we...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, why we were
our defense really actually wasn't that good that year.
Right. I mean, and we could score more points than we scored this year. The problem with that team was more so chemistry based and sort of personnel when they were playing together. Yeah, man. It's nuts. I don't know what else to say. I know this. Kevin and I will be back on Wednesday to preview the Ohio State game. That'll be interesting.
Maybe just for fun, we can just, instead of doing that, we just recap the last time we played Ohio State.
I'm down. Dude, I'm absolutely down. I think the fans would like that. We could pull some clips and pull some big plays from that game, talk about how, you know, any memories that we have specifically. I know I could run everybody through the opening scenario of that game, because that was a wild turnaround for me, having to go out and snap a PAT immediately. Yeah, we could. I think that's a good, you know what, Kev, that's a great idea. I think to keep spirits up and to give us a little bit more content than we might have otherwise, I think we recap a little bit of the Ohio State game from 2017 on Wednesday night.
I like it. Let's do that.
Cool. Maybe Drake will even come in because he scored a touchdown in that game. We can get him in for like a quick 20-minute little ordeal. He also dropped the quote of the century in the media and then had to rescind that by DMing every reporter on the Iowa beat and say, "Hey, don't put that in your story." So that was funny. So as I cough my way
it
out of this
episode,
still
got out though, right?
What?
It still got out. Did someone still print that?
I'm pretty sure it still got put in a story. I do think that he minimized the damage, but, yeah, it was still out there. It was out there enough that the coaches knew about it and were like, "Hey, buddy, let's not say that."
The rest of the year.
And no, he definitely didn't. And you know, the only team or people that he might have hurt with that comment would be the players that are going into this weekend. because Ohio State and Iowa have not played since that day. Iowa has not gone to the horseshoe since our freshman year, 2013. And this Ohio State team is 6-0, 3-0 in the conference, looking to probably play Michigan in the, what I would call the de facto Big Ten championship, even though it will be during the regular season. And they're a legitimate title contender this year. And I would not doubt that.
Coming up for bye week too.
Yeah, and I would not doubt that if they have the opportunity, they may score one or two touchdowns more than they need on Saturday. Do they have Drake's quote up in the locker room? Probably not, but they're going to try and make a statement. So with that, as I nasal my way out of this episode, Kevin, turn signal Kev was with us today. He's probably on the highway, so he hasn't made a turn this entire podcast, but he's still turn signal Kev to me. That's 360. We've almost done an episode for every day for an entire year. That's pretty cool. We'll join you back on Thursday. If you guys are part of the Patreon, patreon.com/washedupwalkons, you can get extra episodes, discounts on our merchandise, donate to the kids' hospital, exclusive merchandise opportunities, and a whole bunch more. You will hear us on Tuesday for Dickhead Tuesday, which is our extra show that gets a little bit erratic sometimes. And until then, peace.